Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin, you're listening to Up North News.
Welcome to the second hour of Up North News for this Wednesday, October 5th. I'm Pat Breitlow. Aaron Zummer's here in the producer chair today, rather than Eagle Scout Luke Mathers, but we learned that Aaron is an Eagle Scout himself. From the Manitowoc area, and we are very happy to have him here. We'll continue to learn more about Aaron beyond, you know, his Manitowoc dining preferences and
or where he gets
put to school. What? Give us one more fast fact, fun fact we can learn about Aaron this hour.
I know one that I've mentioned to Pat before is that I used to take dance lessons when I was little. I mean, only up until sixth grade, but we mentioned tap dancing, and I just had to say, well, actually, I have done some tap dancing.
You've literally done tap dancing. What sparked to that? Did you see something in a movie or a show or something? And I say that as somebody who used to watch Fred Astaire movies and really liked him. So
some of that, but also my older sister took dance lessons and I was like, oh, that's so cool. I got to do it too.
All right. So there you go. And then nothing since, I mean, if you're put on demand, is there a spotlight on you on the dance floor that you can, you know, bust a particular move that most people can't?
If there's a spotlight on me on the dance floor, the most thing I'm likely to bust is probably like my ankle or something. I definitely did not retain anything.
Gotcha. Okay. Coming up this hour, State Senate candidate Kristen Alfheim and State Representative Lee Snodgrass. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, 715-388-7155 or email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. A reminder that the election is 34 days away, but voting is already underway. People who previously requested absentee ballots are already getting them in the mail, filling them out, sending them back in, or returning them in person. So the votes are already being cast, and you can get in on all the fun. All you have to do is get in touch with your local clerk's office. If you need to know where that is, go to myvote.wi.gov, get the info on registering, how to get an absentee ballot mailed to you, how to do in-person absentee early voting at your clerk's office, and much more. But when the question comes to who are you voting for, you can be excused if you're not, if you would, you know, fail a quiz on who everybody is that's on your ballot. There are multiple races and multiple different terms of office. So as a result, it can be, you know, it can be tough to say, okay, why is Ron Johnson up this year, but Tammy Baldwin isn't? And, you know, should I even vote if there's not a presidential candidate on the ballot? So we're going to open up what we're going to call a voter hub on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And we're going to fill it with some articles basically about voting 101, including that link to some videos from the Wisconsin Elections Commission about voting. But let's cover for a couple of minutes here the terms in office. And again, for some of you, this is social studies from way back when and won't surprise you. But I think it's worth reviewing if it helps anybody feel a bit more informed about going to vote. So let's help you navigate what is and is not on the ballot this fall. President, no. That's why we call this the midterms. We're in the middle of a presidential term. It's actually an unfortunate description because it implies that these races are not important, but many states, including Wisconsin, elect their governors during these presidential midterm years to their own four-year terms. So governor, yes, in Wisconsin and in 35 other states. There are 11 states that elect governors the same year as a presidential election. There are two states that hold elections for governor the year following a presidential election. And there are three states that elect governors in the year before a presidential election. And there are still two states, Vermont and New Hampshire, where the governor only serves a two-year term. Bonus points if you knew that Wisconsin elects its lieutenant governor candidate separately in the primary election. So a candidate for governor may not necessarily get the running mate of their choice when they are paired up on the November ballot. In terms of state officers, the state attorney general, Treasurer, and Secretary of State serve four-year terms. They are up for election the same time as the governor. For U.S. Senate, this is where things get tricky. There's one up this time, but not every time. Senators serve six-year terms. And to stagger turnover, the Senate divides its members into three groups. So roughly one-third of the seats are up for election every 2 years. So years like this, we have a governor's race and a U.S. Senate race for the Ron Johnson Senate seat. 2 years from now, Senator Tammy Baldwin's term will be up at the same time as the presidential election. 2 years after that, in 2026, there won't be any U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin. It all depends on how the terms line up when you've got a six-year term. The Wisconsin Senate, as part of the legislature, has 33 seats with four-year terms. So they're staggered so that about half the Senate is up for election every 2 years. And this time around, it's the odd-numbered Senate districts that are on the ballot. The even-numbered districts will be decided 2 years from now. And, of course, the U.S. House and the Wisconsin Assembly, the lower houses of both the legislature and the Congress, they have the easiest cycle to remember. Every seat in both chambers is up every 2 years. We have county sheriff, coroner, clerk of circuit courts on the ballot this year, whereas in presidential years, you elect the county clerk, district attorney, register of deeds, and county treasurer. And then finally, we have our nonpartisan elections. We won't even get into that because that's all on the spring ballot. So we'll cover that sometime in December, January. Let's take a break, and then we'll have our interviews with a couple more legislative candidates next. You're up north.
Let's go, girls.
All right, it's time to meet more of the candidates on the November legislative ballot, this time in the Fox Valley, with State Senate candidate Kristen Alfheim and State Assembly Rep Lee Snodgrass. They were interviewed on Monday by our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, herself a former candidate for State Assembly. So let's play back that conversation.
Well, good morning, my friends. I couldn't be more excited than to start this beautiful morning off with Lee Snodgrass, State Assembly Rep Lee Snodgrass of the 57th Assembly District, just south of where I live, and candidate for Senate District 17, Kristen with an I, Alfheim, my soul sister. Ladies, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, my soul sister. It is District 19, just to be clear, just 2 points better than 17. So
I'm sorry. It's so hard. You know, like when you are not in it, think about the general public and all the lines are changing all the time. They don't know who represents them and the numbers are confusing. So thank you for clarifying.
No worries. Hey, you got the name right. I mean,
thank you for having me. It's easy to remember mine because I always say it's like Heinz 57 sauce, like the special sauce. So there you go.
Lee Snodgrass has the special sauce. And can we just give a little toast this morning with our coffee mugs because they're chosen with intention?
They are.
Yeah.
Kind Heinz of. A local artist.
Very nice. Mine are classic artists.
Do you do that thing in the morning where you go to the cabinet and you look at all your coffee mugs there and you think, what am I feeling today?
Yes, yes. I totally do.
I also have a little OCD on matching. Oh. Am I the only one? I don't.
Your coffee mug has to match what you're wearing?
It should absolutely complement the outfit. Yeah.
No, I don't have that.
I used to have,
look at today. Look how.
See? I used to have clear mugs just for that reason.
Wow.
Because I didn't have to focus on it. You'd find out your craziness and you just get rid of it.
Let's put this on a Baylor, Chris.
Yeah. Things you always wanted to know about Alfheim. She likes her mugs to match.
And she believes in transparency. Like,
there you go.
I'm feeling this. And I'm also going to approach my coffee mug cabinet tomorrow and think about what I'm wearing and how it all goes together.
Yeah. Just a little bit of time. A little bit of time.
Enough about coffee. Tell us about you. Our listeners want to know who you are, why you chose to take on this giant responsibility, throw your name out there, be so public, in these divisive times, it's hard. And what makes you the best person to represent your district? And we'll start with you, Heinz 57. Do you want to
go first? Sure. A couple of things. I started out as an organizer, like a lot of people that are new to politics. I ran for county party chair after the 2016 election, was able to triple our membership and really change and transform the way local politics was in our area. And then when I was recruiting people to run, I got asked to run in 2018 for the race that Chris is running for. So that was my first foray into actually being a candidate and running. Cut to 2020, Amanda Stuck left the position. She asked me to run. I did run and win, and here we are. So why am I doing it again after how divisive things are, how difficult things have been? Frankly, it's because there's still work to be done. Democrats, as you've seen, have not had the opportunity to have any of their bills get to a hearing, move forward. And I believe it's my responsibility to continue to offer an alternative version, really, of what Wisconsin can be. We're a deeply progressive state in terms of our roots and how we came to be. And I think there's still an audience for all of the issues that Democrats are fighting for. They're actually very popular issues, and I'm excited to keep doing it. I've been working hard for the last 18 months. I laugh that I still get lost in the Capitol sometimes, but apparently we have to run for office again every 2 years. So I'm not done.
It's confusing in the Capitol with all the steps and all of the beauty. But so I want to just, before we go to Chris, you said many of the things that Democrats introduce don't get anywhere. Tell us a little bit about that, because I think that that's really important to emphasize.
Yeah. So we actually had a nonpartisan group in Madison look into this for us, the Legislative Research Bureau. And compared to 2009, 40% plus of Democratic authored bills got a hearing. And when you get a hearing, you're able to get a vote. When you get a vote, you're able to go to the floor. Less than 2% of Democrat authored bills this past session got a hearing. So that is how divisive things have become since 2009. There has been an idea that even if you let the public hear about a bill that a Democrat authors, they're somehow giving us a win and they're taking something away from them. Democracy is not pie. You know, it's for everybody. There's enough for everybody. And everybody should be able to hear ideas and ask questions on the merit of those ideas and those bills. So really, the Republicans are cheating the public when they keep our ideas quiet and dying in committee. So that is what's happening, sadly.
And we'll get back to more of that after we hear a little bit from Chris about her why and who she is.
Well, I think it goes hand in hand with the cup. I'm a little bit insane. I love democracy. I love politics. I have for a long time. I'm a history geek. I am a forever curious person who likes to learn. In my business, and I come from a small bee farm in central Wisconsin, the Wausau area. Shout out to north central Wisconsin. But I grew up in a mixed household of a pro-Catholic or pro-life Catholic mother and a VP union father. We worked hard. We got along. We had differences of opinions. I remember asking who they were going to vote for in kindergarten. And oh, I remember wow. hearing different, not because I knew to ask, but the teacher told us to go ask. And I remember the conversation. And mom had one reason for one and dad had another reason. So I was brought up with the concept of people have different ideas, but we still get along. Mm-hmm. Fast forward into my career, I literally teach people to solve problems for a living. I spent 20 plus years teaching advisors in the insurance and financial industry how to relate, how to understand, how to reduce stress, how to find common ground in order to identify a problem and then together work forward to solve it. That's what I do for a living. So when COVID hit, my volunteer efforts in Madison and DC were kind of squelched and the city council position opened. And I thought, well, I'll get into city politics. I had been an independent my whole life. So a nonpartisan position, I thought this is perfect. I didn't realize really how partisan nonpartisan positions are. So I went out and just, I found out what I had to do and I got my signatures and I put up 25 signs just where I thought they needed to be and I won, which is great. And on city council, I've learned there's a lot. There's so much that people don't understand that's connected regarding financing and taking care of people and needs and wants and balancing all that. And when the Roger Ross stepped down, I thought, maybe this is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I started asking questions and I started looking. I don't like the craziness that's going on. I don't like the incivility that's going on where we can't just have a conversation. People are afraid to acknowledge who or what they vote for today, whether it be Democrat or Republican. If they are in that moderate segment, they almost duck from it because they're afraid someone's going to throw something. That's so wrong. It's so wrong. So I come to this with, you know, talking to Lee on the front end, making sure that I had the blessing of the leadership, because I really have to have been an outsider. And Lee, I remember the cup of coffee we had, and Lee assured me that it was okay. I didn't have to be perfect. I didn't have to be everything that someone would want me to be. My job was to listen and to want people to be okay first, and to focus on the issues of the people of Wisconsin and bring those people together to start moving forward for the state. She needs help. It's not right. A democracy means all voices. I was thinking this morning the last phrase of the Pledge of Allegiance, just liberty and justice for all.
All.
Liberty and justice for all. It does not say for all that can afford it. It does not say for all that look like us. It's liberty and justice for all, which means we need to be able to hear all of the voices. We must represent all of the voices. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm in. I think that I'm good at listening. I think that I'm good at bringing people together. And I think I can do a good job for the 19th district.
I couldn't agree more. And acknowledging the diversity and what we all have to bring to the table, and then figuring out how to compromise and work together and solve problems. And I love that you talked about your journey, how you decided to do this, that you talked with Lee and you recognized that you had the stuff to do this. Because I think that there are a lot of women who would like to serve. We have more women right now in the state legislature than ever before.
Right.
At 31%.
Yeah.
31%. 50% of this population in Wisconsin are women.
Yeah.
I will mention, just because, that the Democratic Assembly Caucus is a majority women serving, not so on the Republican side. So that's an important distinction. Right.
Yeah.
So how do we overcome that? How do we encourage more women who might think that they don't have the qualifications or whatever it takes to run? How do we help them recognize that, no, you can make a difference here, and what you bring is really valuable?
Most men self-select to run for office. They don't have to be asked. It takes on average women 6 times to be asked. So when I'm at the doors and I see a young child, a young girl, I say, hey, have you ever thought of running for office? Because I want to plant that seed now. Uh-huh. So those are things that we can do every day. I always say, we need more women in government. Would you like to do what I do? You should run for office someday. And they kind of look at their mom, like the mom usually says, would you like to do that? But we need to make it a safer space for women to do so. And we can talk about that later.
Absolutely. What do you think, Chris? We've got about a minute left.
I think it's a pain tolerance acceptance thing. I think that, I truly do. I think that people, when they make a decision to do something, have to decide, is it going to be worth more than the pain of doing it? Mm-hmm. And everything we do. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of men choose not to in the Democratic Party, because there's danger in stepping out there. There's danger in picking a side. So there, I think there's a lot of strong men on the Democratic side that could be, but they choose not to. Where women are saying, I don't care. It's the right thing to do. It needs to be done. I choose to do it. They are willing to take the pain necessary to do what's right in caretaking for our state. And I think that's why we see it that way.
And let's recognize that there is a lot on the line for all of us, but especially for women these days. And we'll talk more about that when we come back.
All right, we will get more of Kristen's conversation coming up here. First, wanted to let you know that in our next hour, we will have Marquette Poll Director Charles Franklin, State Assembly Rep Jody Emerson of Eau Claire, and Kirk Bankstead from the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC. That's all in our 10 o'clock hour. As for the weather, cold front is going to move through tomorrow. We're not going to see the 70s for the foreseeable future, at least the next 7 days. Instead, Wisconsin is going to be subjected to blustery north winds, chance of showers, highs just in the 50s Friday and Saturday, lows getting to 30 in places, and then some quiet weather and highs in the 60s to start next week. So we'll take a break, then come back with part two of Kristen Lierley's conversation with State Assembly Rep Lee Snodgrass and State Senate candidate Kristen Alfheim. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
All right, let's get back to our conversation with State Assembly Representative Lee Snodgrass and State Senate candidate Kristen Alfheim. Here again with that Q&A is our friend Kristen Lierley.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Representative Lee Snodgrass of the Hines 57th Assembly District in the Appleton area and candidate for State Senate in the 19th District, Kristen Alfheim, with us this morning. So, ladies, I'm so just thrilled to be here with you and having this conversation. When we left off at the break, we started talking about women in politics, how many we have here in Wisconsin, what the Democratic Party looks like, what's at stake for us. So let's just jump into the abortion issue, because that is what is likely to be one of the, well, maybe the most pivotal issue for most voters. What are you hearing at the doors, and how are you messaging with people about this divisive, complicated issue?
I would say every single turf that I have, it's on average between 30 and 45 doors. There's at least one person who self-identifies to me as a lifelong Republican who will be voting for Democrats this time around on the abortion issue.
Wow.
Most of them, the Republicans, are very concerned about the privacy issue. I mean, because frankly, that's what it was overturned on. And for them, that's something that they care about deeply. I also have a lot of people who have Planned Parenthood signs in their yard. And so when you approach those doors, you know that's going to be somebody who cares about this issue. And boy, do they care about this issue. These are people who I would say were not politically engaged or involved, particularly in the past, were really, really excited to get out there and to vote for Democrats, because they know that people like Chris and I are going to be fighting to restore abortion rights in Wisconsin. And probably more importantly, we're going to be the tide that keeps more restrictive laws regarding birth control and other things going through, which we know for a fact that Republicans are already drafting legislation to do.
Oh, they have passed legislation that the governor vetoed. I know at least 5 anti-abortion bills in the last session. And the danger here for both of you, since one of you is in the Assembly and one running for Senate, is we're one Senate seat away from a supermajority. We're 5 Assembly seats away from a supermajority. And what that means is, with a supermajority, the governor loses his ability to veto. And if we don't have a Democratic governor come November, all of this stuff, everything, like you said, Lee, all of this stuff is being drafted, but it's already there. And Tim Michaels has already stated that he will sign all of this legislation that has previously been vetoed. It's just sitting there waiting to be let loose on us. This is an incredible threat to not only women, but all of us here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know Chris has similar experiences. One quick thing, I will just say that Wisconsin loves a buy one, get one. And I tell people that's what this election is. It's Tony and it's the legislature. You can't have one without the other this time around. The stakes are just too high.
Yeah. I'm wondering if I'm hearing similar things. In fact, I would say my ratio is even higher than that. And keep in mind, the people that Lee and I are talking to right now are absolutely people that are in the middle. We have the entire time we have been knocking on the persuasion universe, which means they are moderate on either side to independent. So every conversation we have are with people that are not strongly necessarily on one side or the other. And so I think there's an overwhelming amount of people that understand that the personal choices that need to be made are there. I also want to point out, bless you, I also want to point out the interesting fact that all of these hard 1849 law people are all saying, oh, but I'm okay with exceptions. Well, No, you're not. You can say anything you want. But when you're on the floor of the Capitol and you don't bother to open your mouth when you have the opportunity to say, I want to disagree. If you don't open your mouth at that time and challenge your leadership, then you do not believe in making exceptions. So all of these people that are now backing up saying, yeah, I'd be okay with that. No, they're not. They've already been given the opportunity and they made no effort to stand in the way of putting in a law that was before women or people of color even had representation, much less the ability to vote. So don't get fooled by that. Don't get fooled by the, oh, I'm okay with it. Mm.
Yeah. Also, you know, when we, and Kristen, you know that Dr. Lyerly, you know as well as we do that when you get into the semantics of that, of rape or incest, the burden of proof for somebody who's experienced a traumatic event to be able to have the ability to not carry a pregnancy that may be the outcome of that to term, that is incredible. That gets, that's a whole nother level of hell. So I abortion is healthcare and abortion should be safe and legal and available in Wisconsin, period.
Yeah. In my turf yesterday, I had 42 doors and I met three nurses, got to speak to three nurses and all three of them are clearly voting for me because they believe in healthcare and the choices. One of them had been a midwife for a time and they all understand that it is necessary to look beyond and to take care of people. All three of them in one turf, healthcare professionals. So that gives me hope that people are looking beyond. Also, I want to point out there's a new set of signs going around being put up. Have you seen the heck no, we don't need Roe?
I have.
That'll get your blood pressure up. That there's one right down the road.
Yeah,
heck no, we don't need Roe. If that does not flare the blood pressure of every open mind or rational minded individual, I'm like, put up more of those signs. That's going to help you a lot.
That's funny because the person who pointed it out to me who was so enraged by it was a man. And he said, have you seen these signs? But I will tell you guys, I also saw a sign yesterday. It's the first time I saw it. It said, it was pink and it said, back the vag.
I've seen those too.
It's like, brilliant.
The world we're in, the world, it's the fact that this is even necessary to have this conversation. I mean, all you can do is try and find some levity in it, but really?
Mm-hmm. But it's not just this. You know, if you go back to Clarence Thomas's opinion in the Dobbs case, it's contraception. It's LGBTQ+ issues.
Right.
And those are very personal for both of you who come from this community. You must feel personally threatened given the landscape.
Yeah. I am the chair of the LGBTQ caucus for the legislature, so both Senate and Assembly. So I would love to add to our membership by having Chris be elected. It was really painful last year as we saw bill after bill being introduced, anti-trans youth bills, bills that would be restrictive and harmful to LGBTQ+ families and the young people especially. And I heard from so many parents across the state saying, this is harming my child. This is mental health issues as much as anything else. This is harming my child. And so when we think about further restrictions on rights and equality for this community, it's going to be tough. And I know, Chris, you've got certainly... You know, well, I won't do a big reveal for you, but you go ahead and talk about your situation.
I mean, I'm getting married in 14 days.
Woohoo!
By the way, that's in the middle of an election, but she reminds me that she asked first, so please someone send me a reminder later to go pick up my outfit from the alterations lady. I need to get that. You know, it is personal to me, but also, you know, we talk about the emotion of it being inside, but I will tell you that I with every topic in this, I have had to learn because I think that the empathy is about trying to understand from someone else's perspective. So when I answered my first questionnaire, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure on everything. And so I scheduled an appointment to meet with Helen over at Lawrence University. She does a great job. And I just asked questions. Tell me why. Tell me why that it's important that we fight for these trans rights. Tell me why we have to do this at this age. And it was enlightening to me to understand. And then I could put it in my own perspective. And she talked about the fact where we, if we could deal with the emotion internally of dealing with what's going on physically at a younger age, it would prevent the chaos. It would prevent the number of suicides that take place in that community. It's ungodly. It is horrible. And I'd listen to that. And then I tried to understand. I didn't come out until I was 45 years old. 45. I wasn't surrounded by people. It wasn't that it wouldn't have been okay. It's that I didn't even know to pay attention to the voices in my head that were trying to give me the sign. Mm-hmm. I wasn't paying attention. It took me until I was an adult to actually say, uh-oh, there's something going on here, that I could pay attention to it and truly find who I really was and become who I was supposed to be in its fullness. Now, the goodness is that I had a great life leading up to it, but that's not the case for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we have to realize, and I try and put it as, if you're a grandparent and you have two grandchildren and one of them is straight and one of them is trans, will you not fight for both of them? Mm-hmm. Would you not want the best opportunity for both of them? So we have to be able to put ourselves, people don't find it important to them until it's within arm's reach. So we have to at least ask people to imagine if this were your child, if this were your niece, your favorite godchild, what would you do differently? And if we just start to bring it down and think from that perspective, perhaps we can have some empathy and start helping people live healthy lives at an early level.
And I honestly I think when
Republicans introduced legislation similar to the oath that you take of do no harm, I think of that when I think of what legislation are we introducing? What are the unintended consequences? Who are we harming here? Who are we impacting here? And so much of that anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ legislation is simply dog whistle legislation, but in its introduction alone is harming people, is saying to these families, these young people, you don't matter. Your truth is not truth. When in fact it is. And if we really care about mental health in Wisconsin, we need to stop picking on these families and children.
Yeah. You are absolutely right. And we need to recognize that the generations that come behind us have a very different perspective about so many of these issues, these social issues, especially the LGBTQ plus issues. So ladies, we're out of time. We have seconds left. I know it went so fast. We didn't even get to fun facts. We'll have to do that down the road.
Really?
Well,
we have so many.
I'll mention Kristen Elfheim, rock band. In a rock band?
Mm-hmm. One gig. It happened at a McDonald's Playland. Yeah, it does. Electric guitar, baby.
At a McDonald's Playland?
In a McDonald's Playland. Yes. There was literal moving on one of those horses. Playing La Bamba.
We're going to need to find out more about that down the road. And Representative Snodgrass, Peloton?
I was a certified skin instructor through the YMCA for a number of years. Yeah, I was one of those people with a microphone on a bike yelling at you to get your butt out of the saddle.
And that has really served you well in your current role. Thank you all so much for spending your morning with us. I'm so excited for what the future holds and what you will bring to the legislature this November.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Kristen Lierley talking to more candidates, and we'll do it again one more time in our 8 o'clock hour tomorrow with Renee Gash, a state assembly candidate, and Andrea Gage Michaels, a candidate for state senate. So we got to hear from Kristen that way on a taped interview. And again, tomorrow we would normally have her live in our next hour along with Kirk Bangsted, but she is traveling back from Washington, D.C. after taking part in an event at the White House about women's health. So we will have Kirk along with us next hour, along with Charles Franklin, the director of the Marquette poll, and state assembly rep Jody Emerson from Eau Claire. We'll talk about the very, 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 very short special session of the legislature yesterday, which basically constituted a big middle finger to the women of Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Brewers play their final game of the 2022 season this afternoon, 3-10 against the Diamondbacks. And then coming up after this break, we're going to talk briefly about Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels. What he just said that would decimate services throughout Wisconsin because of the games that he wants to play to income tax brackets. That's up next. You're up north. We're doing the Starlight Lounge here with your musical selections. There's a smoke-filled room going on here. There's a couple dancing over toward the corner. You know, just some candles lit on some of the tables. You really set a scene here.
Well, you did mention smooth jazz, so I thought some.
I was joking, but anyway.
Well, next time I'll play it louder then.
I want to call attention just to something that State Representative Lee Snodgrass said during that interview with Kristen Lyerly, that when it comes to running for office, men self-select. They just say, yeah, I'm going to do this. I did. That's what I did one day. I mean, I was happily anchoring the 6 and 10, 10 o'clock news at Channel 13 for, you know, coming up on a decade. But I said, you know, I think this is what I want to do next. And I did. Whereas women, she said, on average have to be asked about 6 times to run for office before they seriously consider it and say yes. And so she was encouraging anybody to encourage others that they think could be good candidates for office, who could be good public servants, to not just wait for them to self-select, to ask them about it, to talk to them about it. I've lost track of the number of people I have talked to about whether they should run for office or not and what the highs and lows are. But it's those conversations that eventually get you some good candidates compared to the ones who self-select. I mean, the classic example is Ron Johnson, who self-selected when he heard on either Fox News or one of these other right-wing media outfits saying, you know, isn't there a millionaire in Wisconsin who could take on Russ Feingold? And he got rather full of himself and said, yeah, I'm that guy. I can do that. And of course he did. And then he beat him again 6 years later, defying expectations on that election night 2016, when Donald Trump also came out of nowhere to win. And that's what happens when you get self-selection by people like Ron Johnson and Donald Trump. So if you know good women who you think would be good candidates, don't wait around for them. Have that conversation. We want to remind you that if you want to listen besides on the radio, whether it's, you know, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau or Flagship Station or Richland Center, Amory or what have you, you can use the TuneIn app or go to tunein.com and just look for WXCO, Bull Falls Radio. You can use your smart speaker as well. You can also watch us, if you're not already, right on Facebook or Twitter. Just go to the Bull Falls Radio page of Facebook or Twitter, and there you can see me, and you can see if Aaron looks like what you picture when you hear him talking. And then each hour of this show is turned into a separate podcast. You'll find that on Apple and Spotify. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a story this morning from Molly Beck saying that Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels says he's open to a flat tax, a flat income tax for Wisconsin residents. And the story tries to make him look generous, like, well, but I won't go along with this plan if it raises taxes on the lowest income residents. Well, okay. So if you don't want to raise taxes on the lowest income residents, but you want a flat tax, what you're saying is the richest Wisconsinites should pay the same level income tax as the poorest Wisconsinites. Right now, the Wisconsin income tax brackets, according to Molly's story, range from 3.54%. So about 3.5% is the income tax bracket for the lowest income households. The highest tax bracket for the state income tax is 7.65%. So just over 7.5%. But that doesn't kick in for individuals unless they're making $267,000 a year and above. And bear in mind, the median income in Wisconsin is somewhere in the 50s, somewhere around $50,000, $55,000, I believe. So let's just game this out. Michael says that, here's his quote, "I'm going to sit down with all the smart tax people. We're going to figure out how low we can get the income tax." Doesn't that sound almost word for word what Donald Trump said back in the day? We're going to get the smart people in the room, you know, so we're going to get the smart tax people. And he says, right now, it looks like they could get it to somewhere just below 5%. But I wouldn't support that, he says, because I don't want to raise taxes on anyone. So again, work this through. What does it mean if the wealthiest households, if every millionaire and the billionaires in Wisconsin, and we have a few of them here, all suddenly get their tax rate slashed in half? What does that do for schools? What does that do for roads? What does that do for protection of natural resources? Or, as I can hear, for job creation efforts, economic development, but I can hear you now, some of you, you're a step ahead of me. What would that do to property taxes? Because that's what, you know, school districts, local governments, they rely on the property tax. They can't charge an income tax. So the property tax, which disproportionately hits lower income households, would be the vehicle that would have to be increased to make up for the monster income tax break that Tim Michaels wants to give to millionaires and billionaires. So you're either going to get a tremendous cutback in services, which is definitely what some people in the Tim Michaels camp want, or to keep the same level of services, local governments will be made out to look like the bad guys and have to dramatically increase property taxes, which, by the way, they won't be able to do because the Republican-led legislature has those levy limits, has those property tax limits that say you can only tax so much at the property level. We're not going to let you levy anything new in terms of an income tax or a wheel tax, a sales tax, what have you. But they shouldn't have to. The most fair tax is the income tax if it's not flat, if it has gradations in it, if it's for a higher percentage if you are wealthier. It's that kind of thing that somebody like an Elizabeth Warren was promoting, that wealth tax that only applies to households with a net worth of $50 million or more. Is that you? Nope. It's roughly just the wealthiest 75,000 households. And if they paid an annual 2% tax on every dollar over $50 million, that small number of tax would bring in $3.5 trillion over a 10-year period and help reduce the ever-growing wealth inequities in our country that are truly holding us back. In our next hour, Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette Poll, State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire, and of course, Kirk Bangsted from the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC. All that and more. Follow our coverage at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll take this break for the top of the hour and be right back.